we'll start off with the review from yesterday. What are the four times that you give a carbon tota, or that you bench bottom?
Lost in desert, lost at sea, sick in prison.
Nice. Ooh. Now, there's a chilek, there's a distinction in the Gemara in Tehillim Kuf Vav, between it puts it into two categories. Anybody want to make these two categories? I'll just do it for us.
The lost at sea and the lost in desert.
I told you this.
No, you told me the tail, but you didn't tell me the cattle.
Yeah, right. There's a distinction. What?
So you gotta figure it out.
Yeah,
because yeah, obviously. There's the distinction, the lost at sea, lost in the desert, versus the healing and getting out of jail. So what's the distinction? It's as follows. When someone heals from sickness, or when somebody gets out of jail, it's easy to think, like, my lawyer helped me get out of jail, the judge got me out of jail, or I escaped jail. The doctor saved my life. When you get out of it, when you're lost at sea, when you're lost in the desert and you find your way back, there it's like much easier to see, like, this was Hashem. I know I didn't do this on my own. There's less of a delusion into thinking that somebody else did this for me, that I was helped by the doctor. That's like the Pasuk in Shmuel says, Ani Hashem Rofecha. I'm Hashem, your healer. Meaning like, yeah, like we do, there is a reason to go to doctors if you have to. People said that Rabbi Nachman said, don't go to the doctor, it's us or this and that. He was very anti-doctors, very anti-medication, all that. That's not what he meant. Rabbi Nachman's wife was sick, he took her to a doctor. It just meant, like, don't think that the doctor's going to save your life. Hashem's going to save your life. And the doctor's just the medium through which Hashem is going to save your life. It's kind of like if you're ever mad at somebody, like, for whatever it is, like, I was talking to somebody, like, he hates his ex-girlfriend. Like, the imamish hates her. It's like a little bit, like, you go to therapy or something. He's like, too. It's like, oh. But I said, like, thank her. Like, Hashem wanted something in your life. I guess it's like, you know, I wasn't like comforting him, but like I said, Hashem wanted her in your life to show you a message, and she was just providing you the message. That is it. Like, she is just some kli, she's a merkava mamish from Hashem that wanted to send you a message, which is probably that he needs to go to therapy and like figure out his low self-esteem and whatever. But whatever.
You should be a therapist.
Yeah. Yeah,
no, law school.
What? No, because therapy, you can't say things like...
Like, you can't say, like, you need therapy.
Yeah, you can't say that. It's also, like, let's say, like, somebody comes into a therapist's office and they say, you know, my life is this is bad, that's bad. And, like let's say the person's, like, fat and needs a haircut. Like, no amount of therapy, no amount of insight or advice that a therapist gives a client can help them if they don't, like, start working out, eating healthy, treat themselves well. Like, there's only so much advice you can give somebody if they're not able to treat themselves well. It's kind of like somebody one time went to the Kashrutzer Rebbe, the Kashrutzer Magid, the first Kashrutzer Rebbe. And he was a very wealthy man, like very, very wealthy, but he was having a lot of spiritual issues. And the Kashrut Tzermagid said to him, what do you eat for breakfast? He said, porridge. What do you eat for lunch? Porridge. What do you eat for dinner? Porridge. Kashrut Tzermagid said, I think that all of your problems will go away, like if you just like feed yourself well, like eat really good, lavish meals. So then the guy left, and then the Hasidim were like very confuzzled, like why, that's off, like I don't get this. And he said, think about it. This man has so much money. He has the resources to have nice meals. He doesn't eat well. He doesn't treat himself well. How do you think he treats Aniyim? You think if he doesn't give himself, if he's not kind with himself, you think he's giving a lot of stuff to other people? He barely, like, he doesn't value Gashmias. So he's not going to give, he's not going to give over Gashmias to Aniyim either. And once he starts treating himself well, he'll start treating other people well. And they're never going to believe that once you start giving stuff up, then you'll be blessed. So.
That's future thinking right there.
What do you mean?
It's a good call, but you thought so far. Yeah, you thought so far in the future there.
I just think, but you know what? I think it's true. It's kind of like I recently had to make a big purchase, and like the second I made the purchase, I get stuck, and then I realized, oh, like once I make this purchase, like more money's gonna come into my account. It's like harchei picha v'amalei, like open up your mouth, and I will feed it. Like if you're stingy with your money, Hashem's gonna be stingy with your money, and He's not gonna provide for you. Like, if you want, like, Hashem, like, I want money so that I can get tzedakah, and then Hashem will give you money to get tzedakah and to spend on your gashmi. But, like, if you're stingy with your money, Hashem's not going to provide for you, like, the resource. Why would He do that? Like, you're not living a life of, like, spending and of, like, utilizing the money that Hashem gave you. That's the verse in Devarim. It says, Ish kiman es yadai, like, what's the mitzvah of tzedakah? Ish kiman es yadai, each person according to that which his hands has, kivirkas Hashem elokech, Hashem asamah, according to that which Hashem gave you. So you're supposed to spend commensurate with how much Hashem gives you. And the more you spend, the more Hashem will give you. So you just have to spend, God will replenish. There was people have heard of a Pinchas Koritzer. So the Baal Shem Tov had the Magid of Mezrich. Magid of Mezrich had a lot of
students. Kislev.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that, honestly.
Crazy stuff.
Yeah, so Magid of Mezrich was the teacher of the first Chavar, the altar. So he, whatever. So Mario Messer really had like a school, like a powerhouse, creating a lot of students. Then you had Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Polonoi, the Tolda Yaakov Yosef, also a big rabbi of his own, right? And then with a lot of Hasidim following them around. Then you had Rav Pinchas Koritzer, a little bit less known. Rav Pinchas Koritzer wasn't down for a Hasidim. Like, he just wasn't, like, he just wanted to, like, sit and learn and enjoy his life. The issue is, he was being, like, very bothered. People kept coming over to him. They kept, you know, asking him for, you know, refuahs or yeshuas or this and that. And he said, I've had enough of this. He dived into Hashem, like, I should lose all my followers. I don't want to be bumped anymore. So the Gemara says, Tzadik goes there, Hashem Mekayim. Tzadik decrees, Hashem fulfills. Next day, Rav Pinchas loses all of his followers, and he sits at ease. Now he could learn Zohar and his own book. They just left. They started going elsewhere. They said they didn't need him anymore. And Rav Pinchas said, great, you love two Sfarim. You love the Zohar, and you love Mordechai Luchim. Oh, and you love the Orach Chaim by Rav Chaim Ben Atar. Those were like his favorite Sfarim. So, but he had to learn on his own. Okay, great. Then Sukkos came along, and he wasn't able to build a Sukkah because he was, you know, frail. And then he realized, snap, I kind of need, like, my followers back. So then he died, and then the followers came back, and then they built the Sukkah. But he was very into, like, you know, you have to develop on your own. You know, not like a lot of other Rebbes. Like, kind of like, you said, like, why did Moshe not, why was he not allowed to go into exile? Like, what was, like, the panini behind it?
Yeshua.
What?
Have Yeshua.
We needed Yeshua. Moshe was, like, a leader. He led by, like, leading. He led by, like, doing, being there, being very present. What type of leader was Yeshua? He was, they say, like, Moshe was the sun, he reflected light. Yeshua was the moon that received the light. He was more of that leader that, like, kind of like when you're walking a dog, the dog is in front of you, you're behind it, you're the leader, but you're behind, so the dog feels like it has the,
Well,
it's train. Control, what?
It depends if you train.
What do you mean?
Well, if you train the dog, then...
So Yeshua was like a dog trainer, kind of. Like, that was more of his role. Moshe was more of, like, the leader type. So we needed a Yeshua type of leader. But that's what Rav Pinchas was more of. Like, you know, lead on your own. Like, don't, like, depend on your Rebbe. The Rupshitz Rebbe said that you have some Rebbes, they wake up every morning and they daven that all those in need of Yeshua, all those in need of salvation, they're going to find a Rebbe. They're going to find that respective Rebbe so that Rebbe can daven for them, and then all their prayers will be answered. The Rupshitz Rebbe said, I wake up every morning, I daven that Jews could learn how to daven on their own so that they don't stop bothering me with their problems and deluding themselves into thinking that I'm going to provide for them. Like, I got nothing. I'm just going to daven. But, like, it's really a chef. There's, Rav Meir Tversky from the yeshiva said a very good story one time about his, like, ancestors. So, he said that there were two well-known considered rabbis. You have Rav Yochanan Rach Mestrika and Rav David Talner. Rav Yochanan and Rav David. They were, like, very prominent Hasidic rabbis in the Ukrainian Ishtika area. So, what happened was Rav Yochanan asked Rav David, he said, I don't get it. Like, all these people come to you, they ask you for yeshuas, they ask you for help, and you provide eitzes, and then all these good things happen to them. They come to me, and, like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I'm davening, but, like, it works, it doesn't work, I don't really know what's up. Like, how do you, what's your secret formula to get, like, your prayers answered for all these people, and they have all these yeshuas, they think you're some miracle worker, like, how do you do it? So, Rav David said as follows. He said, somebody comes to me, they have some issue. Let's say the issue is, like, financial issue, whatever, and they travel hundreds of miles to see me, and they sit down in my waiting room. They wait for hours, mamish hours. They're sitting there waiting. There's a huge line. Finally, they're one away, and then my shamish comes out and he says, "What's your name?" They say their name, and then he says, "Okay, like, you have to see him in a week. Like, he's burnt out. He's been seeing people all day. He's seen him in different time." And the person says, "Are you joking? I travel like hundreds of miles. Let me in." So then the shamish says, "All right, fine, like." You get 30 seconds, or I'll give you a minute, but a minute only, and then you're out of here. So the guy goes into the room with Rav David, and he starts telling Rav David his problems, and then 30 seconds in, Shamish walks in and says, like, Shmata, you have 30 seconds left. And then the guy's so nervous, and then he wastes those 30 seconds, he totally butchers it, and then the Rebbe says, all right, like, I'll daven for you, I guess, like, cool, bye, like, good luck. And the person leaves, and at that moment, they realize, oh my God, I travel hundreds of miles to see this tzaddik to help me get out of my problems. This person cannot help me. And it's at that point that person realizes, oh my God, I have nobody but Hashem. Like the verse says, like, ain me hishamim. There's nobody to rely on. Ella avinu shebashamayim. It's at that moment they realize, I thought this rebbe could save me. I thought this doctor, I thought this energy healer, this thing could save me. Oh my God, I have nobody in this world that can help me except for Hashem. And it's at that point that they cry out and daven. And then it's at that point that they see the issues. And they just think it's me. Like they're a little bit, you know, like... But that's the answer. You have to say to get the filas chan. People were in shua in high school probably, yeah. With like Mora Jessica or something.
Yeah.
So chana is a very similar thing. What happens is, Chana is very upset. She can't have a child. She's very upset, and she's being made fun of by like her Eskimo wife, like Penina, like her husband's other wife. She's ripping on her for it, and she sees her children, and she's very upset. And the one consolation she has is that she is the favorite of her husband. Her husband loves her more than Penina. Her husband loves her more than anything. And her husband says to Chana, I don't get it. Like, am I not, what's the question of first? Am I not better than seven sons? Like, why are you upset that you can't have a child? Like, I'm better than that. And it's at that moment that Chana realizes, like, oh my God, my husband, the person I'm closest with, there's nobody closer to you than your spouse. That person doesn't understand the pain that I'm experiencing right now. I thought that my spouse could relate to me. He can't even, because we think like, you know, our parents, our best friend, our spouse, and like, we think these people get us. No, they can only approximate from their own experience, but they can never really understand like how we feel. Like our Soloveitchik said that our feelings are like DNA in, like encrypted and coded that like nobody can understand but us. So like at that moment, Akana realizes like I have nobody. I thought I had him, I don't even have him. It's at that point that she cries to Hashem, and it's at that point that she has Shmuel. When she realizes, Ein mi leishan ela avinu shabashamayim. You see this in the first Hallelujah after Asher. It's a beautiful Hallelujah. You're all going to look at it tomorrow during davening. It says, Al tiftechu b'nivim b'vein avim. Do not trust in noblemen. Do not trust in people. She'ein lo seshua. They do not have the ability to save you. Why? Teitzirucho, their soul departs. Yashuv la'admosav, they return to the ground. Bayomahu, on that day, of duishkenosav. On that day, all of their plans, all their imaginations perish. It's like rabbas nashavas b'leiv ish, like great are the thoughts of man. Atzis Hashem yisakim. But in the end of the day, it's like Hashem's counsel that perseveres. So you think that people are going to help you get out of your problems, they're not going to help you get out of the problems. Like, it's not relevant. Like, it's really Hashem. Why? Because people are ephemeral. They're going to go away. But like, it's Hashem that's always there. It's Hashem that's sustained. It's Hashem that's always current. That's like same thing. You're also going to pay attention next time you take the Torah. So tomorrow or Shabbos, Be Anorachitz, it says, it's a Zohar. It's a really powerful prayer. It says, Lo al bar eino shachitzna. It is not on a human being that I support myself through. Lo al bar elon samechna. And it's not on a human being that I support myself. It's rather on Hashem. I don't rely on anybody but Hashem. I understand if I'm relying on somebody, I'm really relying on Hashem, and that person is just the conduit through which I'm relying on Hashem. But it's not that person. It's Hashem. Yeah, like, have people heard that, like, sock story? I don't know if it's, like, a classic story. People know the sock story? I don't want to say it again. I hate it.
I'm not sure,
no. It's, like, a Gavir from Canada had two wills. You ever heard this?
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it again. Everybody knows the sock story. You know the sock story?
You clearly don't want to say it, so...
I don't want to say it.
Just don't say it. Sorry.
All right, cool. But there's like... What? No, I got a little bit more... How
are
we
going to bury me in my socks?
What?
You didn't bury me in my socks?
Yeah. You know the mice. You know how it connects. Just put the pieces together. Let's bite it. Okay? So, Tehillim says, Sheker asus l'shua, uverul chel l'imali. Like... Folly is the horse, the chariot, in thinking in saving you. And all of your weaponry will not get you out of your problems. Like, you recognize that it's Hashem. It's like the story of Hanukkah, that, like, it didn't logically make sense for us to win the war. It's like a six-day war. Like, it just doesn't make sense. Like, it has to be Hashem, because, like, you can't use any, like, logic just doesn't work in trying to understand. It's the same thing, like, our entire existence is a miracle. Like, why? Because the Gemara in Shabbos says that Avram said, Ribon Shel God. Ra'isi b'ayt stotnius. I looked in all of like the scientific literature. Ve'eini ro'i lo'ilu. I'm not meant to have a child. Impossible, scientifically speaking. But what happens? The Ben Yehuda says it's like through tefillah that was a verb. And the idea is like Avraham is Yitzchak, Yitzchak is Yaakov, Yaakov is Chai. So our existence is not the Derech HaTeva. It doesn't make sense. Every second that you breathe, Kol Zman, that you breathe, doesn't make any sense. Because you shouldn't be here according to any scientific measure. And we are here. So our entire existence is a miracle. And if our entire existence is a miracle, then anything that happens can be a miracle. There is a shkafa prefis in this world. Hashem can like provide for us. And that's like the whole story of Hanukkah, that like nothing made sense. It's all supernatural. Nothing makes sense by logic. It's nonsense. It's nonsense because it's beyond sense. It can't be relegated to sense of it because it's just so beyond that. Like the candle should not have lasted that long. We should not have won that war. We should not have won the 6-day war. And I don't know, we pulled through. That's the Nisim. And it's recognizing that, like, Hashem is the one who provides for us, Sheker Asos L'Shua. It's not the weaponry that's going to get you out of your problems.